All right, everybody, good morning. Listen, when I play a song like that, in the beginning, let's use that opportunity, to pray in the spirit and to honor our spirit man type of deal. Hold on just a moment. Hey, girls, y'all be quiet over there. It's our two dogs having too much fun. I'm in the office, but they're with me. We are actually freezing this morning, man. I mean, we have a lot of frost out there. I don't know, feels like it's in the 20s or something. But anyways, I know there's a lot more people out there definitely that have it worse than us, for sure. But anyway, good morning, everybody across the world. Good morning. These prayer calls are really precious. This is definitely something I look forward to, spending time with you guys and getting up early with the Lord every morning. And this, whenever we meet like this, I've already been there for 3 hours or so. I get up about any time between 3 and 4:30. I give him my first fruits of the day. Oh, you're at below zero, Denise. Ugh. Man. Y'all, hey, do y'all have gas heat up there? Y'all, if y'all are that cold all the time, y'all have to have gas heat, I would imagine. You'd have to have something if your lights went out. You do. That's what I was thinking. All right, girls, quit. But anyway, today I want to talk to you guys about something really serious. I'm going to go off the recording to say this. Hold on. This is why it's good to be on these calls. You get these juicy tidbits. All right, hold on. All right. The next thing I want to move into is, that interview that I did the other day with Diana, she talked about the jab. And it's made a lot of us rethink and go back over this again, about how we see the way the whole thing rolled out. So, there's something that I want to read to you guys this morning. I do have a word for you, so if you'll kind of just let me roll here. I emailed it to myself, so hold on just a moment. Let me pull it up. All right, here we go. Now, okay. You guys saw how she acted the other day when I mentioned President Trump, and how there's no acknowledgement of his role in anything, okay? And we know that it is so obvious what he has been doing because we have followed him since day one, okay? And it's very important. If this is one way, one main way you can see who is a farce is their opinion of Trump. There is no way that anybody's that stupid that they cannot see the things that are right in front of their face. So the evangelicals that are partnering with him, they are choosing to ignore the signs based upon their loyalty to maybe their pastors or their leaders that they watch or whatnot that are NAR. And so they trust the image of the beast, which we're going to talk about this in the Bible college. We're going to thoroughly examine this about logos and the images, because the image that you are believing about Trump, is telltale in where your loyalty lies right now, because they just posted a thing last night on YouTube about how they're making a statue of him for his. They're hoping to put it up at his inauguration, like a 20 or 30 foot statue in his image. I mean, how the Christians would even, you know, have anything to do with this. They've been bringing his gold statues to all of their conservative meetings. I've showed you this. They roll the thing around and everybody gets so excited. And they all want their pictures with this golden statue of Trump. So it's idolatry in every level, according to the Bible that we know, you know. But anyways, now, so as you saw her opinion of Trump, I'm going to show you how diabolical this situation is that we're facing right now. It is so serious and terrible, you know, and I want you to understand to the depth of what we're dealing with. All right, so I'm going to read you this. Now, this is the Congress, okay? Congress had a committee that examined COVID, and you would be surprised at their results, because they're releasing this report right before Trump comes back in. Okay. Now, this is something I've noticed about presidencies here in our country, is when a president comes in, the previous president puts these committees together to find findings that the next president will move off of. It's kind of like, you know, my degree, my master's degree, corporate communications. All right. We work on our target audience, you know. So there's a lot of things that you can do to gather, you know, insights into how I'm going to do something. So maybe I'll do a poll. Maybe I'll do, you know, town hall discussions. Maybe I'll have them fill out reports, you know, write in, or there's many different ways. All right. So what they do is, and I'll give you an example. Okay. Trump, on his way out in 2020, did a report called the 1776 Commission. Now, you guys heard me talk about this a lot because it's so terrible what that thing did. But he did just like he did with the Open Up America Again plan, which was just put in all globalists, no Christians, input. All globalists on how to open our country up again. This was back in May of 2020. So, thus, we had to live all these years by the rules of this Antichrist group. So, a few months later, he forms another group. This one is called the 1776 Commission. Now, this commission was, they're all Satanists, man. I mean, these are all big-time globalists, okay? They were examining the Constitution to change it. And what they were changing it for was to redo the founding of the country, which is where the Noahide laws comes in. This is where 2026, when the Noahide laws, when the flip over of the country happens in July 4th, this is from that discovery group, that planning group. So for 3 months at the end of 2020, this group got together and picked out all the new founding, all the new heroes. They're changing the name from the founding fathers to now heroes. Okay. So these heroes are people of that have done major things in the country through the whole time of the Christian era of the country that probably were not Christian, you know. And so this is why President Trump made the announcement the other day that, you know, when he gets in, there's going to be new statues that's going to be erected, which we all know one of them be him. But this is where it comes from, is this commission. So what they did is they restructured the Constitution according to the colors. Remember I told you when I was working in D.C. and how I come out of the White House one day and I saw the Commerce Department had a banner hanging outside that was highly suspect because it had one white person with all of the other colors. And the white person was whited out, you know, like a black and white figure. Which I knew because of the way I do graphic design logos and all this, I knew what they were saying. And what they were saying is what they're doing right now. It is the white version of Christianity, the King James version of how we was founded. I told y'all it's not really the color of the person. It's what we represent, okay? So I went in and confronted them. And I told them, I'm a White House correspondent, and I want to know why your sign out here has a white person, you know, in black and white, which gives the impression to the viewers, the people looking at it, that you are removing the white culture out of society. And, you know, so what's the deal here? This looks a little racist to me. You know, oh, no, it ain't racist. You're looking into this wrong. I mean, I had them all stirred up. So they all come outside. Oh, she's lying. This ain't, you know. I was like, I know what I'm looking at, people. You know, and I've seen that many other times. So what he did in that 1776 commission is exactly that. Okay. So, what happened is after he bowed out of the presidency, I will always believe that. I believe that because I, you know, received all his emails from the time that he supposedly, and I'm putting in quotes, lost the election, where he wore out the saints. He escalated his emails from, you know, what's happening here to where it's utter violence by the time it got to January. Oh, he had them people primed up, boy. Yes, he was responsible for that. I will always believe that. Him, Alex Jones, and all them evangelicals that was with him, you know, Greg Locke and all of them, who were with Clay Clark and all the NAR traveling across the country, signing up militias at their meetings, you know. Having guns there and everything else. I mean, it was just, the whole thing is just mocking the church. But anyway, all right, so Trump bows out, and then you have the, you know, the 0106 incident, which was such a setup, because you had him up there, y'all go over there and I'm going to meet y'all over there, you know. And he wanted them to go in and confront Pence because he wanted, the image that he wanted everybody to believe was he wanted everybody to go in there and get Pence to side with him. You know, so when they all got over there looking crazy, you know, the Capitol moved out of the way, the police. That's a farce. That never happens because Vice President Pence was in the building. So I know from working in the White House, they broke every protocol there is right there. Because when the president or the vice president is around, nobody's within 200 feet that hasn't been vetted. I mean, you know, there's such a guard. Like, even when he's in his office, because I used to pray in front of his office all the time, President Trump's. I can't tell you all the secrets that they have when you're in the press corps, but one of them is when he comes to the front of the building where I'm at, you know, where I'm praying at, the Secret Service is notified in the, you know, where all the people are, which is probably maybe 100 foot out, and they pull out their guns. They tell all them people, back up now, you know, we'll shoot you if you don't get out of here. They don't tell them why. They just tell these people, you know, back up, you know, we need you out of the way. This is official business here. And people move like lightning. You know, most people know when you're in D.C. about the Secret Service, you don't mess with them, you know. So that's another reason I don't believe this about his fake assassination. I don't believe that for nothing either. Because the Secret Service that I know, they're excellent. You know, we're talking excellent people. That whole thing was, it's just such a farce. But anyway. All right, so on the day of the 0106, the way those Capitol Police, when you got all the mob out here, a real looking mob, and you move out of the way, and you move the barriers out of the way, and you step back and let them come in, I ain't buying nothing you're selling. That is such a farce to the vice president and president, you know, that you let them people in the building with all them congressmen and everything. It's just something that's never done. It was just all a farce because after Biden got in, they used that one incident, which Trump led them to. They used that one incident against the Christians the entire time Biden was president. They changed law after law after law after law. Look what they did. Look what they did. You know? So they steamrolled the church because of that. Trump assigns all these people and sends out all these LGBT and transgenders to go out here and find people to run for office so that they can be up there. You know, every year since he got in 2017, he began stacking the Republicans. He corrupted them and he booted the good ones out and put in all the vomit, is the way I describe it. So they went out there and they got all these people so they could pass all these laws. And what they did was, is when Biden got in there, they began whipping those bills out, baby. Yes, they did. Republican, 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 Republican. And a lot of them that were controversial were led by Republicans. Isn't that something? Because that's who the conservatives trust. You know, it's just such a farce. But so anyway, so when Biden took over, Trump hands him the paperwork to the 1776 Commission. Yes, he did. And then President Biden shut down the commission. And guess what he does with that report? Hands it to guess who? To a Republican. Guess who the Republican was? Shocking, shocking. DeSantis. And then DeSantis gives it to New College. And what are they doing with it? New College is in Florida. What are they doing with it? They are making new curriculum for 2026. When the no hides are rolled out, they're going to have all new educational stuff for your children. This is why they are wanting your children. We are looking out for the females. We want to pay for her child care now. Yeah, because they want to indoctrinate them. Plus, they want robots in all these homes because they want to spy on your children, train your children, monitor your children's mental health, and even learn a pre-crime platform over your children. You know, they all these robots have so many sensors. You know, this is why I was telling people, don't get on TikTok. When you get on TikTok, all they're doing is they're building a digital twin of you. They're censoring you and monitoring your mental health. As you watch TikTok and you watch them videos, they're building a pre-crime profile of you. Because that's one of the reasons I believe that the TikTok platform is so fast, like, you know, video after video, is because they want to see your reaction to a bunch of different scenarios. Really, it's kind of like MK Ultra. The way they would hold them people's eyes open and make them look at all these different images, think about it. So that they could see the reaction and whatnot, you know. And then another warning while I'm on this subject is make sure you get out of the iPhone. Because remember, the iPhone is gathering all of your mental health and building a profile of you as well. Some people don't even care anymore at this point. I'll tell people, and they'll be like, so? Okay. So, anywho, so now Biden gets in and he builds this report from the 1776 report, and this is what is going to be rolled out in 2026. All right, so, but this group, now that you know how presidents do for the next president to run with it, now we're seeing it being set up for Trump. So let me show you what just happened here. They put together a subcommittee on the coronavirus pandemic. Now, this is very important. Y'all hear this, okay? I'm going to read you just the top of it, because it's like 600 pages. But I'm going to show you how diabolical our government's being right now. And how the cover up for Trump is beyond belief. This is why all these countries are bowing down. You can't tell me this man ain't the Antichrist. You cannot convince me otherwise anymore. All the countries bowing, all of the media now, they showed on the news last night. NBC and all of them are now bowing to Trump. You know, they're meeting with him. His enemies, the ones who they act like were his enemies, they're meeting with him in Mar-a-Lago now. Because this man, all right, let me read you this. This is from our own government. All right. Today, the Select Committee on the Coronavirus Pandemic concluded its 2-year investigation into the pandemic and released a final report titled After Action Review of the COVID-19 Pandemic, the Lessons Learned in a Path Forward. Pause. Path forward, that's a UN term. Because they're always, when they talk forward, it's like a futurist, okay? Now, the final report will serve as a roadmap for Congress. Pause. The roadmap is Build Back Better. See, they're getting ready for the next pandemic. The first one was a test. They implemented it. They tried all their different stuff they did, which was very professional. I mean, they had everything in line, you know, and they learned from their mistakes. So this Congress is reporting back to the world what they learned. So this is going to affect the entire world. All these other governments will be reading this. So when it says a roadmap, it is building, build back better. The executive branch and the private sector, which means a lot of these businesses, public-private partnership. Remember that with the World Economic Forum. To prepare for and respond to future pandemics. There you go. There's another one coming. It'll be worse too. Since February 2023, the Select Subcommittee has sent more than 100 investigative letters, conducted more than 30 transcribed interviews and depositions, held 25 hearings and meetings, and reviewed more than 1 million pages of documents. Members and staff have exposed high-level corruption in America's public health system, confirmed the most likely origin of the pandemic, held COVID-19, bad actors publicly accountable. So, in other words, heads are rolling over this. But you'll see the top head did not roll. Foster bipartisan consensus on consequential pandemic-era issues and more. The 520-page final report, sorry, I gave you the wrong amount, details all findings of the Select Committee's investigation. This work will help the United States and the world, see, there you go, predict the next pandemic, prepare for the next pandemic, protect ourselves from the next pandemic, and hopefully prevent the next pandemic. Members of the 119th Congress should continue and build off this work. There's much more information to find and honest actions to be taken. All right, now, the COVID pandemic highlighted a distrust in leadership. Trust is earned. Accountability. Now it kind of makes you want. Now it makes sense. Or gives a new light on what they're going to be doing starting in May. The over-the-top patriotism that's going to be on display in our country for a whole year. So you're going to have parades in the streets, celebrations, events. You know, all the homes will be having flags on them. I mean, the cities will be decorated. It's going to be ridiculous, okay? They're wanting to build the trust back up with the people, obviously, right here. Accountability, transparency, honesty, and integrity will regain this trust. A future pandemic requires a whole of America response. Now, remember my interview with that woman the other night, and I said, yeah, we know about the whole of community response. This is where they want an all-in, managed by those without personal benefit or bias. We can always do better, and for the sake of future generations of Americans, we must. It can be done. On Wednesday, December 4th, the Select Subcommittee will hold a markup of the final report. Okay, which I did read. All right, hold on. Now, what they're saying is the origins of the CV pandemic, including but not limited to the federal government's funding of the gain of function research. You believe that? Now, COVID-19 most likely emerged from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. So there's the official statement. They're blaming Wuhan. The five strongest arguments in favor of the lab leak theory include: the virus possesses a biological characteristics that is not found in nature. Well, that could be said because it is CRISPR technology, duh. Here's the question. All right, if they want us to believe this, if I was to talk to this subcommittee, what I would ask them is, where is the CRISPR technology? Where is your, they don't even address it in here. Why is that? They're acting like it's a real virus. You see? So, okay, if we're to believe that China was the one that brought this on, then, you know, well, wait a minute, hold on. CRISPR is in the vaccine. I'm sorry, I stand corrected. the actual pandemic, which they say, okay, now, we know, based on our research and stuff, what that thing really was. It's like a parasite that invades the host. It's really sad. And that's why they didn't like the ivermectin. You know, because it kills parasites. Me and Dennis today, we still use ivermectin. You know, you need to do that for a parasite cleanse type of deal. But anyway, let's go back to what our Congress come up with about the pandemic, okay, on what started. So they're saying that it came from Wuhan, China. It possesses a biological characteristic that is not found in nature. So how did that characteristic get there? Data shows that all CV cases stem from a single introduction into humans. This runs contrary to previous pandemics where there were multiple spillover events. Wuhan is home to China's foremost SARS research lab, which has a history of conducting gain-of-function research at inadequate biosafety levels. What else do we know? We know that about that doctor that did the gain-of-function that everybody was so mad about. All right, now, Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is where he comes from, researchers were sick with a CV-like virus in the fall of 2019, months before CV-19 was discovered at the wet market. All right, the thing to consider on this is, how many remembers Event 201? Event 201 came out in the fall of 2019. And this is where they practiced for a pandemic. So you can't make that up as well, that you had all the characters on the stage that were at the White House with President Trump on the stage. These are the very ones that was in Event 201. So you can't make this up, you know, Dr. Fauci and all them. By nearly all measures of science, if there was evidence of a natural origin, it would have already surfaced. Okay. Now, and then they give the definition of gain-of-function research is a lab-related incident involving gain-of-function research. Okay, let's see. Oh, they're blaming it on this guy, Dr. Peter Daszak, from EcoHealth Alliance. Under the leadership of Dr. Peter Daszak, used U.S. taxpayer dollars to facilitate dangerous gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China. After the select subcommittee released evidence of EcoHealth violating the terms of its NIH grant, National Institutes of Health, which is Dr. Fauci, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services commenced official debarment proceedings and suspended all funding to EcoHealth. Okay, and then they talked about NIH failures. The procedures for funding and overseeing potentially dangerous research are deficient, unreliable, and pose a serious threat to both public health and national security. All right, now, so they're saying that the Institute of Health failed through the CV-19. The funding, federal and state governments had significant lapses in coordination, were unprepared to oversee the allocation of the COVID-19 relief funds, and failed to sufficiently identify waste, fraud, and abuse of taxpayer dollars through the pandemic. Remember how they paid everybody? Paycheck Protection Program, which offered essential relief to Americans in the form of loans, could be forgiven if the funds were used to offset pandemic era hardships. See, basically, I mean, in a pandemic, in a real pandemic, would you think that the government would pay everybody for having a pandemic? I highly doubt it. Do you think the government would pay everybody, you know, for funeral if you had a family member die, if you allow them to put it on the death certificate, then you'll get $50,000 or whatever? I mean, it was crazy. Okay, $64 billion of taxpayer dollars lost to fraudster and criminals. Unemployment claims, SBA failures, transnational fraud, relief funding oversight. All right, now watch this. The implementation, and then I'll get started on the word that I have for you. I just want y'all to hear how they do President Trump in this. The implementation or effectiveness of any federal law or regulation applied, enacted, or under consideration to address the CV pandemic and prepare for future pandemics. World Health Organization. The World Health Organization's response to the pandemic was an abject failure. Can you believe they are calling them a failure? And why are they calling them a failure? They said because it caved to pressure from the Chinese Communist Party. That's a farce. And placed China's political interest ahead of its international duties. Further, the WHO's newest effort to solve the problems exacerbated by the pandemic via a pandemic treaty may harm the United States. No duh. Do y'all remember our intense study of the pandemic treaty? And all of our government was highly involved in that. Our government is the one that was behind it and signed off on it. So, are they going to pull us out of this? I don't know. Social distancing. The 6 feet apart social distancing recommendation, which shut down schools and small businesses across the country, was arbitrary and not based on science. Look at that. During closed-door testimony, Dr. Fauci testified that the guidance was sort of just appeared. I guess they were asking, where did y'all get that rule of the distancing? All right, look what they learned about the mask. There was no conclusive evidence that masks effectively protected Americans from the CV-19. Public health officials flip-flopped on the efficacy of masks without providing Americans scientific data, causing a massive uptick in public distrust. Well, why don't they talk about the negative health benefits that happened by making people wear masks every single day and not receiving oxygen? Y'all know what happened to a lot of people? They lost their teeth, sores on their face. Terrible. It's a disease, man, because you're just breathing in carbon dioxide. You're not getting any oxygen. You know, you're breathing your own toxins. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm not a doctor. But the mask for sure is not a good thing. So they didn't address it here. Lockdowns. Prolonged lockdowns caused immeasurable harm to not only the American economy, but also to the mental and physical health of Americans. No duh. With a particularly negative effect on younger citizens. Rather than prioritize, because we know a lot of kids committed suicide over this, don't we? Unfortunately. Rather than prioritizing the protection of the most vulnerable populations, federal and state government policies forced millions of Americans to forego crucial elements of a healthy and financially sound life. All right, now this kind of scares me because we have studied lockdowns. We know that Australia is being used as a test ground for lockdowns. They're building a huge, massive facility. I mean, massive. For lockdowns. And we also know that what they're wanting to do with the climate change zoning, and it's called the shielding effect, is the actual name of it. And what they do is they want to put people in zones. So the way they just worded that legally set up for this, because instead of locking down the whole society like they did this time, it was just to scare everybody, to let them know this is what it could be like. So let's look at this a minute, because in the future, they're going to take older people, overweight people, people, probably all black people, because remember they said that black people are the sickliest people in the world. Remember them say, I couldn't believe they said that. And President Trump just exacerbated that about black people, because he told them, I don't know how much longer it was after that, but he went up there and said that if you drink bleach, it would help. And then a bunch of black people went and drank bleach. It's so sad, because right after, not Dr. Fauci, but that woman, I can't think of her name, that was with him, got up there and said that about the black people, about how sickly they are and susceptible to disease and stuff. Man, society changed. I'm telling you, people were coming like to the post office. They were covered from head to toe. So much fear. The black people. I remember them yelling at people, you better stand 6 foot apart, because they were so afraid that you was going to give them a dropling. But it's because they were believing what these people were telling them. They walked in there. They would have, and this is in Atlanta, by the way. Okay, I was living in Atlanta when this first rolled out. And they would walk in there with Lysol spraying their body from head to toe before they walked in places. I mean, this bad. So anyways, the point is, the way this is written legally, only the ones that they consider less than, which would be overweight people, older people, probably 50 years and up, black people, any disabilities, you know what I'm saying? So you have all of this strong society, especially the ones that are in the game, probably, would be free to roam around. So they're looking at these people in these zones. You're in the green zone, you're behind this 20-foot wall, you're stuck in prison because now you're locked down, you know, because they want you're most likely to get sick, so we're going to keep you over here. That's kind of like the lockdowns there, but the zones are like that. The zones are, if you did not take the V, they'd put you in a zone. They'd put you somewhere. And then they had you on camera, and people would watch you, and you would have to take care of all the sickly people in that house because you refused to take the V. Do y'all remember that? All those different videos you saw back then of these people in these prisons? Do y'all remember? Well, this right here is kind of lining it up for that. Because they're saying we need to let the strong people go free. Okay, the rest of them we need to throw up, you know, throw away like that. All right, now let's move on to New York. Is D on here? I see D. Okay. New York pandemic failures. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, March 25th order, which forced nursing homes to accept CV-19 positive patients, was medical malpractice. Evidence shows that Mr. Cuomo and his administration worked to cover up the tragic aftermath of their policy decisions in an apparent effort to shield themselves from accountability. Evidence also suggests that Mr. Cuomo knowingly and willfully made false statements to the Select Subcommittee on numerous occasions about material aspects of the New York's CV-19 nursing home disaster and ensuing cover-up. The Select Subcommittee referred Mr. Cuomo to the Department of Justice, so he's about to get it. Now, here we go with President Trump, because this is breaking down what happened. All right, here we go. Travel restrictions. President Trump's rapidly implemented travel restrictions saved lives. During Dr. Fauci's transcribed interview, he unequivocally agreed with every travel restriction issued by the Trump administration. This testimony runs counter to the public narrative that the Trump administration's travel restrictions were xenophobic. So that right there just got Trump off of that accusation and charge. Remember, they were saying that because he said, I'm going to lock out all Muslims, remember? And so they were saying he was xenophobic and stuff. So Congress just set him free right there. Let's go to the next one. COVID-19 misinformation. Public health officials often spread misinformation through conflicting messaging, knee-jerk reactions, and a lack of transparency. In the most egregious examples of pervasive misinformation campaigns, off-label drug use and lab leak theory were unjustly demonized by the federal government. I just want to say that word egregious is very serious. Because YouTube, this is why I told that woman in that interview as well about, you know, what YouTube did to me through, you know, the pandemic type of deal. But they would tell me, you cause egregious harm. They use that term, egregious. In the way that I teach you people, they hate it. They think that I'm bringing more harm than good. The Biden administration even employed undemocratic and likely unconstitutional methods. Now look, the Biden administration, not Trump, isn't that something? Including pressuring social media companies to censor certain CV-19 content to fight what it deemed misinformation. Look what they say about Operation Warp Speed. President-elect Trump's. Notice they didn't say President Trump. See, they're acting like he wasn't even president then. President-elect Trump's Operation Warp Speed, which encouraged the rapid development and authorization of the CV vaccine, was highly successful and helped save millions of lives. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? They just defended him and did not admit any wrongdoing of the wrong deaths out there. Totally gave him the thumbs up. Contrary to what was promised, the CV vaccine did not stop the spread or transmission of the virus. Can you believe that? They're admitting that Operation Warp Speed was a success because they had to See, this is something they do. I want y'all to know this, that I've noticed about the beast. They want to do everything in a hurry, so you don't have time to think, you know. On some things they don't, I guess, but in this case is a great example of what I'm talking about. Because in this case, they rolled this thing out and they got it out there fast, which, you know, just happened to be a month before he got out of office. So that when the results come back in and people start dying, it's all under Biden's administration. Isn't that something? So he was able to stand up the other day and blame Biden. Look at all the people who died under your watch. Under the CV-19, well, duh, you gave them the jab a month before you left. So, you know, he's left with this and he's still giving it. Now, rushed CV-19 V approval. The FDA rushed approval of the CV-19 vaccine in order to meet the Biden administration's arbitrary mandate timeline. Look how they blame Biden. Let's go back into our memory a little bit. How many remember Trump rushing to get the vaccine approved? So who did it? Was it Trump or was it Biden? See how they do? Two leading FDA scientists warned their colleagues about the dangers of rushing the V approval process and likelihood of adverse events. They were ignored, and days later, the Bidens mandated the vaccine. Now, one thing I do want to say that just popped up in my spirit is, I know they're talking about the approval of the FDA vaccine, but Trump was able to do Operation Warp Speed, where they hurried up. I mean, think about how this happened. Within 9 months, they were able to put together a miracle vaccine, you know, filled with CRISPR technology and able to mass produce it by the millions, you know, within 6 months. Really, it was 6 months by the time they wrote it out in March, and they wrote it out in November. So, because they did an order of emergency is how they was able to do the mass production. But they don't talk about this, do they? Vaccine mandates were not supported by science and caused more harm than good. The Biden administration coerced healthy Americans into compliance with the CV vaccine mandates that trampled individual freedoms. What a farce, man. What a farce. When you still got Trump traveling around telling everybody, take it, take it. Harmed military readiness and disregarded medical freedom to force a novel vaccine on millions of Americans without sufficient evidence to support their policy decisions. Well, the thing is where, and now, by the way, Trump is acting like he is for this. He's not for mandatory. You know, so he's not saying he's not for the V. He's just saying he's not for mandatory V. Such a farce. Now, that's all I'm going to report on this. Let me say this. Vaccine injury compensation. Wait a minute. Let me back up. Vaccine injury reporting system. Vaccine injury reporting systems created confusion, failed to properly inform the American public about vaccine injuries, and deteriorated public trust in vaccine safety during the pandemic. Well, for one thing, it was all made public. And we had it on our show many times showing the side effects. It was some of the saddest stories. Oh, Vaccine injury compensation. The government is failing to efficiently, fairly, and transparently adjudicate claims for the CV vaccine injured. Well, one thing that we did learn is they're going to use these med beds. They're going to tell these people, hey, we can fix your problem that you have with the vaccine. This is going to be where Trump comes in, the solution to the problem. So this committee is handing us over to a new president who's going to come in like a hero and act like he is going to, you know, since Biden ruined it with the pandemic, he's going to make it all right. Probably come up with all this technology where people can be healed, see, using that CRISPR technology, you know, where they will be. Y'all know what that CRISPR technology can do, them little nanobots. Them little things are like soldiers in there. They can go in and totally rebuild a liver and stuff, you know. I mean, it's crazy what them things can do. They're like little robots. They're little soldiers. At the command of the beast is the sad thing. That's why a lot of women divorced their husbands when they went and took the V. They're like, I ain't sleeping with you. I ain't letting that in. You know, people were, during the last 5 years, have been very careful about that kind of stuff. And I have seen people that stayed with their spouses that took it and ended up caving in over the years. You know, people get mad at me because I'm so black and white. You know, I'm so, I don't want to say really in your face, but, and it's not really that I'm blunt. It's just that I am, I don't want to say hard, but it is what it is. You know, the truth is like this, you know. For instance, I'll tell people, I met this woman the other day, you know, that told me she took it. She took one. Denise said, no nonsense approach. Probably, but it's that I'm doing it out of love, though, is the way in my mind what I'm thinking. Because I'd rather tell you the truth so you can get healed of this and not be lied to by these devils. Anyway, so I meet this woman the other day in the store. She's the store owner, and she's telling me, you know, that she took one of the jabs. I immediately told her, now me and her was alone. I didn't say this in front of other people. I told her, I said, ma'am, you need to repent and renounce it. You need to come out of agreement, what you came in agreement with the beast. You need to, you know. And I can't tell y'all how many people I've told that to, and I've actually only had one that did it. One. Because these other people, they'll hear it, but they don't really want to give it up. Why do they not want to give it up? Because of the benefits they have received. You know, it's, if you think about the people that took the jab, the benefits they still get today. It's an open door in the world. With the ones that have not taken it, it's a shut door. We still have this thing lingering in the air that we have not taken it. I've had some of the bride tell me that to this day, their doctors are still trying to get them to take this thing. So obviously the pressure is still on for people to still get it. The reason is because what it contains. Okay. So, all right, now that's part one to this, and then I've got a part two. I got a letter from a lady who's on the line with me today. I'm not going to tell you who she is. But I'm going to read what she wrote to me. Now, she's talking about that lady I interviewed the other day who we did find out some stuff, you know, because she told us that everybody that takes it is now a coding system. Because, see, this is her specialty. She does this for a living. So she let us know this little nugget, you know, that these people really do have a Bluetooth address now. And so they're not really registering what it is they've done, I don't think, you know. But this is what it is in a nutshell. Okay, these people that took it are now data nodes. And a data node is kind of like a tree. You know, if you used to look at a tree, and you, if you was to study science, and you see, like, when a tree grows up, and so you have the base of the tree, right? And you have the trunk. Well, that's the internet. When the tree grows up, it grows out arms, limbs. Okay? The first arm that comes out, the first limb, is a node. That means a place of breakoff, kind of. A new addition to. Okay, so then when it grows out and another little area grows off it to make a leaf, that's another node. Okay? So these are nodes. It's like every piece of the puzzle of this tree. So let's look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the internet, the web, the internet of things. All right, so you have the main AI is the tree. It's the stub, you know, the trunk. So everything, thing, that extends itself out of that, that is now attached to that tree, is a node. That's why these people that wear these watches, these Fitbit watches, they have no idea what they're doing. It's like, people, you need to crush that thing. Don't have anything to do with AI. You need to know, hey, AI is the beast, people. Don't be out here talking to it, asking it questions, being all curious because you're being sucked in. Don't even open that door. Okay? So anyway, so these people are now a node. Okay? So what happens is, this is why they was doing a lot of ride-by jabs. They don't need all of your medical history, and they need to know what, you know, medicine you was on, and if you would have an adverse reaction. They didn't care. All they want to do is go jab, see ya. They didn't need you to sign nothing, just go on, see ya. Because now you're attached as a node. You are now a part of this tree. So the node is now monitored. It's tracked. It is being watched. It is gathering a profile, a digital profile of their system. So now this thing that met Vivek's invention, Vivek Ramaswamy, which I told you his business, which is pharmaceutical, does the transportation industry of the V. So, like, his little invention, you know, takes that serpent seed that come in, and it travels it down to where it needs to go. It carries the payload, and then it releases. It goes to the blood, goes to the DNA, and then it cuts out the coding system that God created, okay? And All right, so that's why in the V it had to be liquid and cold because of what it contained. Now, I want to read you what this woman wrote me. She goes, Dr. June, I'm so glad that you had the family, she calls all you family, to talk with last night after the interview. You know, it's when we all gathered on the call. And thank you for speaking about it in this morning's prayer call. For those of us that are not in Zoom or banned, okay, so she's not in any of that stuff, I agree with your assessment, yet it is so troubling. I like it that you gave her the floor to say what she wanted to say, because this is about that interview. That was funny to me, yet it was still kind for you to do so. The reason I did that is because what was she going to, reveal her heart, you know, and it did. She goes, so my question is the testing swab the same as taking the V? If so, there are very few of us without either, and includes more than we suspected. Anthony Patch never thought it was in the nose swab whenever the subject was brought up. That's interesting, isn't it? Because his focus has been on the patch that's coming. And he says that is the mark of the beast, I believe. Let me know if I'm wrong, but I think he's saying that the patch that's coming is. And this is going to be like a one-for-all patch that will cover it all type of deal. Anyways, let's keep going. He never thought it was in the nose swab whenever the subject was brought up, yet I've always felt that it very well could be, since it was required to travel back then, and from some of the videos I saw. If it is in the swab, then that explains why some of my friends who did not take the jab have pretty much withdrawn, or the relationship is just not the same. I'm speaking about those who traveled or had surgeries where testing was required. I may be misunderstanding all this. I know you're crazy busy, and I hate to bother you, but could you please simply answer yes or no to the above underlined thank you? She's like, I need an answer. I'm so glad I found you. I don't even remember how. The more time goes on, the more respect and love I have for you and sharing the truth boldly and not wavering with the masses. And the more I love our group of one mind and one accord. You and Dennis are our family. That became more evident and dear to us when we face others who are not in sync with us, who differ for whatever reason. We really appreciate you. All right, now, so going back to, let's talk about this a minute. This is why I love this platform versus YouTube. I can't talk like this on YouTube, okay? As far as the nose goes, now, they did have to break the blood-brain barrier. Okay, and I believe that was for a reason. Now, we have all seen the reports, you know, where the nanobots were on the stick and all this, that it was the same. All right, now, so let's pause a minute. The reason she's asking is because this woman I interviewed from FEMA said that those that took the swab had the number 2. They are now a node. So the ones that took the test and the ones that took the jab. Okay. So I just feel by the spirit because I'm going to stop here before I go forward with the actual Bible study, which goes along with all this. I just have a feeling that there's people that's listening that did take it. And I just want to tell you something. I'm not your judge. I'm not angry with you, and I'm not, holding it against you or whatever. But I need to talk to you as a mother, okay? And as a pastor here. I'm muting my phone. Hold on. There we go. And as a pastor, okay? A lot of people back then, this was 5 years ago now. A lot of people back then, everybody had different lives, the whole situation was a shock. We've all been groomed by society to believe in the Left Behind series and NAR, that teaches you how the future would be. And so it hit us by surprise, okay? And then when you have President Trump, who everybody loved, and the pastors that were partnering with him, telling you it's okay to do this. And all, there's a lot that happened that people in their mind was thinking, the rapture hasn't happened yet, so it can't be the mark. It can't be that bad. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like the way the movies made it look, where they come up to you and say, "You renounce Jesus or you'll go to hell." It wasn't like that, was it? It was very, very sneaky, very subtle, like a snake would. But the people that I believe didn't take it, were the sober and alert type of deal, that paid attention. But some people, okay, let's say even if you said, I chose not to take it. I didn't take it, but I did have to get a test. I had to get surgery. I had to go to the doctor, whatever it was. God knows your heart, and He knows what happened. All we can pray is that you would make it right with Him. This is the most important thing, because you're going to have to renounce it in a serious way. You're going to have to repent for partnering with it, even if it was in an emergency situation. You still had to say yes, because a lot of people ever since then refuses to go to the hospital. They refuse to go to the doctor, because they don't want to open the door there, But some people had to have surgery, had it scheduled for, whatever it is that happened, okay? And you can't change it now. So what I'm trying to tell you is the best thing you can do is repent and renounce and not come in agreement with it anymore, if there's any hope, that's the only way. And so the way you do it is you just ask the Lord, "Lord, please forgive me for doing this in disobedience. I recognize that I was lacking faith or whatever. So I'm asking you, Lord, to please forgive me. And I renounce the beast and his agenda, and I renounce my partnership with that agenda. I am not in agreement with you anymore. I have asked for forgiveness." Speak this out to yourself. "I have asked for forgiveness. I do not want to reap the benefits thereof. And I do not want to be in agreement with you anymore. In the name of Jesus," and you stick your ground and you plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Get some anointing oil. Put it on yourself. You know, do everything you can to get that out, you know, with your heart. Because it attached when you said yes. It attached. So you got to get rid of it. Now, you're just going to have to trust God from that point, okay? Now, so going back over here to the teaching. Everybody turn in your Bible. Okay, and let me look in my journal. Man, I love my journal. And by the way, those of you that signed up for the Bible College, I'm going to be sending you information today and tomorrow so we can get ready. We start in a couple of weeks. And I'm going to tell you that we are going to do a 40-day fast, but this one, because of the hour that we're in with Trump, the stress level that it's bringing the church and everything, the 40-day fast this year is only going to be an intermittent fast. And what I mean is we will do without food until 6 o'clock at night. Have y'all ever done fast like that? I've never done fast like that before, but I know a lot of churches do it. But because of the seriousness of where we're going and stuff, I just feel led to do it that way. You know, all day without food. And plus, we're going to be doing Bible College and stuff like that. So we'll have a lot going on. So we're going to need, you know, some strength and whatnot. Usually we do our 40-day fast and we do, you know, all just water. And we usually do that for like 7 days, as long as we can, really. But we try to make it the first 7 days. And then we'll do a juicing after that, or, you know, some type of, and then you just kind of go from there. Some of them have to do the Daniel fast, you know, and whatnot, but the fast will change your life. And next year with us going head forward, you know, against the beast, we're going to need that strength. All right, so let me look in here and see what scripture it was. Okay, here we go. Exodus chapter 12. Everybody turn your Bible. Exodus chapter 12. Now, I just want to tell everybody that's listening to me all over the world, I want to tell you guys that the reason that I use the King James Version only, okay, more mainly, let me say mainly, is because I did a study one time about King James. It's a very fascinating study, okay? But it is, in my belief, the most, I know a lot of people went all the way back to the, you know, 1600 one, but I really trust this one. The King James Version, when you look at the story of King James, it's really fascinating because the Catholics tried to kill him every which way but loose. You know, they tried like 4 different attempts to kill him. And they were so mad because he took the apocryph books out and whatnot. So he did it very professionally where he had like, these groups he had set up with the top scholars of the day and stuff. And he would have like one side of the world would do like 5 scrolls and then they would interpret it while another group over here does another 5 scrolls, you know, and then they would swap back and forth for confirmation. So it was a whole process, you know. So the point is that's why I use the King James. All right, so here we go. We are in Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, I thought this was funny because we know what the beast is doing right now about Egypt. He's wanting to take us back to Egypt, isn't he? So, God, I thought, huh, you're pretty slick, God. You know, you're taking us back to the past over here. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, this is very significant. When we get to study in the tabernacle, you will see why. It is so fascinating, you know, how God did with all that. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now, let's look at Jesus. This is another representation of how powerful Jesus really is. Because they had to have a lamb to cover and protect them, didn't they? We know Jesus is the lamb, don't we? And then it said that you had to get a certain type of lamb depending on the size of your house. So you think about Jesus being the perfect lamb, and you think about how all of us are houses. Think about that. We are all houses. We're temples, right? And Jesus was just enough for our house. Picture all of us in one big house. He was that perfect sacrifice for the billions and billions of souls that have been saved over the years. He was the perfect sacrifice for everlasting. Well, isn't that amazing? Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Isn't that funny? Everybody got together to kill these lambs, okay? As a family, right? The sacrifice, and they shall take of the blood. Now, this is key because I believe God gave me a revelation this morning. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. Uh-oh. It is the lamb's blood. The male of the firstborn. A blood without blemish, which is our God to us, right? And he says, you shall take of the blood, strike it on the side post and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it, which means, in other words, where you will be protected. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now, and then he tells them how to eat it. Okay, and he says, don't leave nothing, burn it with fire. Now, look at this. Verse 11. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, why do you think he would have them eat and have their armor on? I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's because they're going into battle. Are they not going into battle? Because what is the whole reason of them doing Passover? The whole reason is the spirit of death. The judgment is coming to the wicked, isn't it? Isn't this what's happening in our world right now? God's judgment is coming for the wicked. This Passover was for the spirit of death to come and to bring the judgment to the people. So God was telling them how to use their protection. So what was the protection? The lamb. The blood. Take the blood. Put it on the doorpost. Put it on the top, the upper part of the door. Eat the lamb, you know. And then, watch this. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Now, isn't that something that he said he wanted the firstborn of the lamb, didn't he? Think about it. Because he's going in on the judgment to kill their firstborn. Both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. All right, now, this very night is why I think they're coming after us. Right here, where the children of Israel were separated. Egypt was judged this night, and the gods of Egypt were removed. Right? What do we see in this wicked old world right now that's being erected right in front of our eyes? The gods of Egypt. We see it's kind of like we're in the same exact point as what we're reading right now. Because we know that God's wrath is about to happen. You know, that we're about to see some very terrible things out here. But God, and can I say again, but God is confirming to us this morning, His blood is enough. The same way He protected the children of Israel in the days of old, by how? The blood was on the outside. The people didn't have to do anything, did they? They didn't have. They sat there in their armor. Think about this picture that we're looking at here. They were sitting there ready for battle, dressed in their battle garments, and God told them, "Sit. Let me fight your battle." Put my blood, which has my breath, which has my DNA, put my blood on the post. And let me do the work here. You'll see what he says here. Let's go to verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. I told y'all that word token really bothers me. Because I believe that this jab is the beast token. It is his way of showing he has bought them with a price, baby. It's a token. Because what is the defining difference between a human that took it and a human that didn't? Think about it. It's the blood. There's a token exchange happening here. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Remember yesterday in our time together, we talked about Adam and Eve. We talked about Cain and Abel. We talked about how Cain had killed Abel, and then Abel's blood cried out from the ground that had feelings. The blood was crying, telling on Cain. Because why? The blood is alive. We have God in our DNA. This is the image of God. See, I believe, and I told y'all guys this yesterday, but I believe that the blood is the scroll of God. It's a helix. It's going to be rolled out like a scroll. And it's going to testify to who you was from the time you was born to the time that you left the earth. It is documented. There's no lie that's going to be hidden. There's no anything that's going to be hid. It's all documented. And who would have ever known this, you know, really? And then now all of us that gave blood, I've given blood years and years and years, you know, thinking I'm really helping society, you know. Can you imagine? You calm down, young lady. That's Misty. When you think about the blood, I wonder if they could take my blood and do all these tests and analysis on it. Can you imagine what they can do with people's blood now that we know what they're doing with it? Don't you come over here and try to butter me up because you got in trouble. I wish they could see a video of what you're doing. You get down and mind your own business. I'm working. Get down. Anyway. But just imagine when they took my blood, all the stuff they could do. I mean, if they could take my DNA and read my book, that's a scary thought. You know? Anyway, let's go back to the scripture here. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You know, just that's really all I wanted to say from this scripture is to talk about the blood and how it protected God's children. You know, so I guess that's all I have. For you, I feel peace now, but I believe that the blood, we need to treasure it with all that we are, especially in the coming days. I mean, if we have an administration coming in that's going to take this report from the Capitol, and they're going to tell everybody, look at all the bad things that happened in the CV-19. Look at all that. It's all Biden's fault. I mean, all these people had died on his shoulders. Basically, can you imagine the loyalty from people that lost their family members due to this? And they're going to shift all the blame over to the Democrats? Think about it. The very ones that brought it in are going to flip the script. Loyalty to the bone. You know. But anyway, it's all in the blood. There really is power in the blood. When we apply the blood of Jesus, like Jesse was saying the other day, about how demons cannot cross that bloodline. They cannot stand the blood. And I've told you stories of how they do have to hold back over that blood. You know, and we have this authority as the children of God. We are the modern day children of Israel. And, you know, we have that on our door, on the doorpost of our heart, you know. And so let's all pray together and then I'll open up the prayer lines. Lord, I just thank you so much for our time together in the Word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for showing us the power of your blood. We thank you for breathing into us, Lord, and giving us your blood. And we all say today we accept your blood and what you did for us and all the blood that was shed for us. We're very grateful today. And Lord, I pray over every home that's listening to this, no matter where they're at in the world, Lord, that if they have taken this, Lord, that they would renounce it and repent, and that they would come out from among them and be ye separate, and be willing to pay the price to protect their temple, you know, their gift that you have given them. And we just give you honor and glory today, Lord. Give them all peace of mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over their bodies and over their homes. And I speak peace into their heart. Lord, help them to forgive others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brian. I know it was really heavy today, and I am sorry for it being so heavy. But it's all because of you know, how this thing is escalating. So, I will talk to you later.
Oh,
Brian,
what am
I going
to say?
Hear this lady that's on the... Well, let me talk, Denise. Hold on. Brian, I want you to hear Miss Denise. She's a lady on our prayer call that said that God gave her a revelation about the blood. I would like for her to share this with you guys. You got the floor, sis. Go ahead.
All right. Well, a lot of this came from when I was talking with and preaching to people that need Jesus, okay? And I kept asking the Lord, there's got to be a way, because I only have a short amount of time if I'm in jail or if I meet somebody in the Walmart. It's not like you have several hours to talk to someone. I want something concise, to the point, and to touch their heart, and that will nail and drive it in. He gave me this, and I'm going to give you from what I tell people, and it starts off with God had a triune meeting in heaven to where God asked Jesus if he would go to the earth and redeem mankind. And because God is a gentleman, he will ask. He asked Jesus, and Jesus said, yes, I will go. So he knew what he was going to the earth for, came to the earth. And before that, we have Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, we all know, fell. Sinned, but God created a coat and cut, and the blood covered the blood coat, the skins of goats and animals that covered them was the blood that covered them. Okay, so then we know we can look at Abraham, and he had bulls and goats, and they would bring the blood to cover their sins so that God could still communicate with his people. And that's God's heart. God's heart wants people. He wants his people to be with him, to love on him, and he wants to be with us more so than I think we even realize. So he did that for us, and he did that for Adam and Eve. So now we're going to jump right to the cross, and Jesus went to the cross. First we'll go to Gethsemane because he was there. He didn't want to go to the cross. He knew the ramifications. And in Gethsemane, he was there, and he bled. He sweat blood. And I truly believe the reason he sweat blood was not so much because of the physical pain, but because of the spiritual pain. And we'll get into that in a minute. So, but anyway, they came, they got him, they took him, they imprisoned him, they took him, they scourged him. And the scourging, I don't think a lot of people realize, is that when he was whipped, there are 12, each whipping was 12 strands on a whip. Okay, so that would be one whip is 12 strands on that thing. And what's incorporated in that is bones. So when it hits his flesh, it grabs his flesh, pulls it, and pulls the flesh. So his back was stripped open. So he was bleeding then. And as he walked, they gave him the cross. I'm making this a little shorter, but he got the cross. He's walking. He's bleeding. Simon had to help him because he was so weak. He's on the cross, he's bleeding, and his blood was there. But he's on the cross, and he looks at the people, and he prays. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I ask people at that point, why does Jesus ask God, why is he forsaken him? Why would God forsake Jesus on that cross? When he chose to go, he said yes. God said he would. And in a nutshell, God forsake him because of all the sin that was on Jesus. That sin was on him, and it was one of the things that God can't look at is sin. And that is one of the things that if you are in sin, how can God look at you? If God can't look at Jesus, who said he would go to the cross, he died a horrible death. He's there. He's stripped naked. He did not have a loincloth on. I mean, I know we've got crosses that have a loincloth. He was naked. How humility, the shame that was set before him, the shame that was on him as he was bleeding. He went, and so we'll fast forward. He went to hell, deposited the sins, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and then ascended. And one of the things that I tell people at that point is he ran into Mary, and Mary, what do us women want to do? We want to go and we want to hug him. Where were you? We love you. We miss you. And he said, Mary, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. So he was protecting that blood. He was protecting that blood because it needed to be pure before. Because we got to remember, Jesus did not sin in the earth. He went to hell. He was killed illegally. Satan killed him illegally. Now, you and I, we have sin. We should be the ones that have in that place. But we weren't. Jesus took our place. He ascended into heaven, and he deposited that blood. That blood is there, and it is pure. So when we apply the blood to anything that we are praying for, that is the blood that is applied on our lives. That is the blood that's applied to our families. That is the blood that's applied to situations that we are doing. It is that pure blood that is there. But it doesn't just cover sin. When you pray and you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, it annihilates it and it takes the ramifications away from you. When you apply that blood and you ask for forgiveness, that sin is removed from you, and it's not just covered, it is annihilated. So you can walk pure in this earth. Now, yes, sometimes there's different things that you may have to fast for, and there's different things, but that blood is still pure, and it is powerful, and that's how powerful it is that it will annihilate your sin. It will annihilate and purify your life. And we have to realize that when it purifies our life, there's going to be no flesh alive. When Jesus comes back for us, we should not have any flesh alive. And this is why repentance is so important. Repentance has to happen. I just watched a video, and they're saying how Jesus doesn't care if you have sin. It doesn't matter. He loves you. But yes, it does matter. You do need to repent. You do need to let that blood cleanse you and cleanse your flesh so that Christ, when he does come and get us, he will take us and not see that sin. And there was one, well, I won't get into that. And that's what I want. That's what I give people that in the jails and in whenever I talk with people, and that is what will bring them in, is that when you give them the understanding of what Jesus did for them and what the blood does. Not many preachers aren't preaching this. Not many people preach this at all. And there's so many people that don't understand what the blood is, what Jesus even came for. And that's what we need to share. That's what we need to get out there, that he came so that he could take away our sin, and not just take it away, but it annihilates it and makes us pure so that God can be with us and talk with us and walk with us in this life. And when right now we've got some really ugly things coming in the earth, we want to be pure, we need to be pure, and we need to have that blood covering us that we can talk with the Lord and we can hear his voice. Amen and amen. And I will leave it at that for now.
That was wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much. That was really amazing. So I wanted to get that on recording. And one thing I love that you said was it annihilated it. Not only did it forgive, but it annihilated.
Can you tell I work with outlaws?
That's a good one. All right, thank you, sister. All right, Jesse, I'm going to put you on mute while I talk about this. Okay, everybody needs to know this. We have people on this prayer call this morning that are reporting that they're feeling like something's happening in the atmosphere because they're getting sick, like tired, stomach ache. You know, stuff that we know is the same symptoms of 5 Genesis, okay? So what I need to explain to everybody is what is 5 Genesis, all right? I was in a meeting in D.C. at the Department of State one day, and we was having a, they don't call them conferences there. It's like a summit. There you go. We was at a summit, and there was a bunch of big scientists, world-renowned scientists there. And they were talking about 5G. So I went up to interview one of these men. And I said, sir, I said, I need you to answer a question for me. I said, now, you know, y'all are talking about 5 Genesis and or 5G coming in and everything. Now, this was back in 2019. I think it was June of 2019. And I said, do you mind explaining to me what is 5G? And why is it different than 4G? And he said, okay, I'll tell you what it is. He said, when you look at all the other Gs, like 2G, 3G, and 4G from our cell phone, it's like where they just say that it is faster and better. But 5G is its own beast because you take the way people get internet and they get it through cable underground. They get it through the power lines in the air. They get it through the satellite way up in the air. They have the DSL that comes through the phone lines. So you have all these different ways through the cell phone towers and all this that people get, you know, this wireless transmission, this internet rather. He said, but 5G is all of it combined. So this is why when you're outside, you're feeling this, they call it latency is actually the name of it. They try to say that they have 5G now that's low latency, but that's not what it is. But latency is where you can live in the atmosphere without going, you know, choking. You can breathe. So when they say low latency, that's what they mean, is where the humans can actually survive there. So you take the underground wires, the telephone lines, and the satellites, all of them like one big circle working together. The power beyond belief. So that's what 5G is. And that's why, like, when you drive to these smart cities, you can't hardly breathe. You know, you can feel it in the atmosphere. You get instant headaches. You know, you start feeling sick to your stomach and everything. They actually have radiation machines that they can laser you and make you throw up. And they have them actually at the border down there by Texas for the Mexicans that come over the border, the people that come over the border. They have those things, and they're on the back of trucks. They're lasers. It's a radiation, though, you know, that they can laser somebody and cause them to just completely bend over and throw up. So in this 5G, though, see, this is why I was telling you guys it was so dangerous when President Trump put in 5G. Because in 2020, he was the president of the G7. The G7 is the top vein of the United Nations. He just so happened to be the president the year all this rolled out. You can't make this up. Okay, and then one of his jobs as the president, because that's the top seven economies of the world, his job that year was to install 5G across the entire world. So it said in the document, which I read to my people, it said, you are not allowed to be a president of your country when you are doing this job. But to the public, now see, I knew the legal jargon because all of you new people that are following me don't know that when I was in grad school, I worked for a lawyer for a year. So my entire history has been for God to train me, you know, for where I'm at. And one of them was working for a lawyer so I could learn how to read these legislations coming down the pike in a better way type of deal. But anyway, so now I forgot what I was telling you. Oh, about President Trump. Okay, so it said that he could not be the president. He had to roll it out. But one thing that he did while he was doing this is a big facade to the public where he made it look like he was fighting with China over 5G. And he did this, and this is the same way Congress is doing right here on this document where they're telling everybody it was all China's fault that brought in the virus. Okay. So he told everybody that China had this company called Huawei, and they wanted the rights to install 5G everywhere. So he had this battle going on between us and China. So isn't it better that it's us do it, you know? And that's what happened. He installed the power pack to the beast, because the beast is what I call AI. AI is the beast. See, you have to understand this end time scenario. In this end time scenario, you have a trio. Like you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We call the Trinity. Okay, it's the same thing with the beast right now. You have Lucifer. You have you have the Antichrist, which is the face, like Jesus is the face of God. And then you have the false prophet, which is like the Holy Spirit. Raymond, mute your phone. The false prophet is like the Holy Spirit, you know, who's the one that helps us and empowers us and all this. And then you have the beast, okay? The beast is like God the Father. It's the head, the brain of it all. Okay, so in this beast scenario, you have AI is actually the God of this world type of deal. It's the brain of Lucifer. It's worse than a legion of demons. It is, you know, I've given you guys a visual of how the Internet of Things works. Is you have a spider, and the fat part of the spider, like the belly, is the data. That is the beast, is the head of the spider, like, you know, the main part. So if you could look at that now as AI, which they said is ready now in Memphis. So the main motherboard, the main load is here in my state in Tennessee, where we have more evangelicals than anywhere in the world. Okay. This thing is here. It's the head of the entire globe of data. Now, what we just learned the other day, this is just a side note, is that this thing has now, I guess since it's ready, I guess it makes sense now that it's the big mother load is ready, the big spider, is sending out agents to every person. And it is gathering information from the people. So, like your computer to you, everything assigned to you, to your nodes around you, is gathering information. You have an agent assigned to you. This agent is taking this information back to the mother load, to the mothership. Basically, you can look at it like that. Taking it back to the mothership, and then that main spider can connect to every data node in the planet. So, like, that night that they tried to kill me when I was in Winchester, Tennessee, it did attack me through a router, you know, sent a laser beam through the router. It's because I had just exposed a story on our government, on the military. And that night at 1 o'clock in the morning, this laser come through and it attacked my heart. And it was going right through my heart. I felt it just like a laser, like, bzzz, you know. And so I knew, you got to get to the router. We'll see, back then, we had a server room because, you know, we had a big building, big offices and everything. So we had a server room that had the main server and all this stuff in it. So I went in there and went, unplug. And bam, the sucker stopped. It's like, oh, I can breathe now. I can breathe. Because I've had people tell me that they're targeted and that they get lasered and stuff all the time. Well, I didn't believe them up until that point, until it happened to me. And then I go in the back room and I'm texting my prayer. Back then I had a prayer team, which I'd love to have another one if anybody's interested. But I had a prayer team and I wrote the prayer team. I said, I need you guys to pray right now. I am under attack from Satan. You know, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And so they started praying and bam, it hit me again right in the brain. It had connected to another router in the next building. So that's how it is. It can connect to any router to do anything. One time I had this dream that my son was at the bottom of a mountain. And there was this truck coming down the hill, and it had a big old, you know, like a dozer on the back that had the big arm on it, you know, where it could have the claw and everything. And it had a dump truck pulling it or whatever. Well, it come down the street, and my son was standing outside, and that machine reached over with that claw and started coming towards my son. It stopped in the road in front of this place. The arm on this machine started extending itself, like it was creating more metal right there instantly. And it started extending to where it was trying to reach him. And he caught on, oh my God, I'm under attack, you know. So he takes off running. And that thing is chasing him. And he runs in the woods. And the woods protected him. And then I woke up. I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy. Now, that was years and years ago. But now I totally see it. Because that extension that was growing was the CRISPR technology. The nanobots can do that. They can build instantly, you know, type of deal. Kind of like swarms, like you see the swarms of drones, what all they can do. But anyways, it's because the beast wanted my son. And it had, you know, ordered this thing to go after him type of deal. So it's kind of like some of the movies we've watched, you know, where the machines come after people. Well, that's because the beast. Now, this is another thing y'all need to know is the hive mind. Okay. These people that have the hive mind, they're in one mind and one accord with the beast. Okay. Now, a good movie that shows a good display of kind of what it's like in a different way that I never thought of but totally makes sense is the movie called Cell, C-E-L-L. Now, it is, you know, a modern day, so you have to watch the language and stuff, but it talks about, you know, these people that become a part of the beast and how they all think alike. They all... If one of them, like, say they're running through the woods and they're all breaking off because they're all going after different people, if one of them is hurting, it immediately notifies all the others. That's what a hive mind is. It is a unified brain based upon the beast because they're all nodes. So they're all connected to that beast. But on the other hand, I want to tell y'all this as well. We have the Holy Ghost. So like, you know, in the book of Acts, where you had the, you know, the apostles, that's how they lived. It was their computer. The Holy Ghost would tell them in a dream or whatever, you know. He would say, I want you to go over here to you know, Titus's house, and I want you to talk to him and bring him this. Then you get to Titus's house, and then there's John sitting there. John says, you know, God told me to come here to Titus's house because I have a word for you, sir. And see, that's how the Holy Spirit works. And this is how we're going to have to be led in these coming days. Because the Holy Spirit can talk to you and nobody else can hear him. I can be sitting there talking to somebody just like this and him be talking to me. You see, so you're led by a supercomputer, which is God. He knows it all. He's in all. Just like the beast with the hive mind, he's in all. See? So we can't panic whenever we think, oh no, you know, the grid's going to go down. We're going to lose the internet and we're going to lose. Because this is the way right now we know of communicating, but there's coming a day that even these may still be alive. I mean, these still may have electricity and everything else, but we're not going to be able to touch it with a 10-foot pole. So we're going to have to communicate another way, right? Because we're not going to have a phone. We're not going to have a computer. We're not even going to have a car, some of us, because the car is not going to be able to drive. It's going to refuse to let you in, or it's going to refuse to let you drive, because it's connected to the beast. It's a data node, the computer inside of it. So it's going to be you and God. But see, this is where I believe, you know, this ministry is raised up for, is to prepare the church to go from there. You know, because one thing everybody's got to realize right now is we are this close. We are right here where this thing is about to roll out, you know. And the persecution, we've got to be able to be ready to go through persecution, because it's going to increase, you know, type of deal. All right, so let me take it off.
You mean
hello, everybody. I've got a lady on here named Dorothy who just went through the hurricane there in Florida. And she's going to talk to you about what happened when she applied the blood before it hit. Okay, go ahead, Miss Dorothy. You got the floor.
Okay. Well, I got, before that, the hurricane came, I had got my oil. And because I don't know if everybody don't believe in the same thing, but I don't know whether these people believe in it or not. But I went downstairs to our main lobby, and I put the blood at all them double doors. I had put the blood at the door, because I put it at my door. But I went in the lobby and put the blood out all them doors down there, too. I don't know where they probably sleep. I went down about 12 o'clock. I know that nobody else wasn't up. So I went down about 12 o'clock and anointed all the doors with the oil. And they say the hurricane come, they say it was Category 5 because my brother, he lived in Colorado. He got mad with me because I said, I want to leave Florida. He said, you going to stay in that storm and it's going to be a Category 5? I said, no. I'm like, I ain't going to leave. God, I know God going to protect me. God just got faith. I got that faith and I believe it. God, I'm being led by my spirit. And I know God going to protect me. So he got mad, but I said, no, I ain't going to leave. But anyway, I didn't go. So I put blood at my door. And when that hurricane came, it tore up the park next to me. It tore up the school in front, the school in front of the apartment on the side. But the apartment I live in didn't get a scratch on it. Not even a scratch on a window. Not nothing. All the places around me got, they didn't get destroyed, but they got damaged by all except the one I live in. But I put that bullet at the apartment door, and God protect me. I just believed it because you had prayed about it. God put us on the dome, and God put out my apartment on the dome, running storm, because he didn't get a damn scratch on it. So I know God did that. I just felt in my spirit before that hurricane came that God was going to bypass me. I just believed that. Because the guy I went to church that Sunday, and the guy had told me that, said, well, your apartment ain't getting down scratch. And he said, I said, no, because I live up here. And I put and y'all know what you understand what I'm saying. I live up here. God protect this apartment. We didn't get no scratch, no water damage, no nothing. Everybody else did, but we did. So I know that because of that, applying that blood, I put that on those, that God passed on over us and went to the next one. So that's what I believe, because I believe in putting the blood at the door. I do it every night.
I am rolling.
Sure
that
do.
Is awesome, man.
Yep.
All right, Kimberly reminded me of something. See, Kimberly's in Mississippi, so she's in the state next to me. I'm in Tennessee. Kimberly, did you see on the news where we've had a lot of earthquake activity on the New Madrid fault line over the past couple of weeks?
Yes, I did see that. I saw
that. Is
that
not
you know,
a trip or what?
There's something, because I know my sister lives in Canton, which is like 20 miles from me, and they had a earthquake. Like, I think it was right before Thanksgiving or the day before Thanksgiving, 3.2, I think, in the middle of the night.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's you know, they predicted when I was in college back in, when did I go to college? 91, you know, 92, they had a earthquake guy to come down because he had been expecting that the New Madrid was gonna go off during that time because they were having some activity, but it didn't. But you know, it's something that has always been in the back of my mind because I know that he had been really monitoring it and that he was showing some activity back then. But yeah, I saw that they had several right there in Tennessee. I think is it St. Louis, that area over there? Yeah. So the last time it went was 200 years ago, and it was so big that it made the Mississippi run backwards, and the Bell in New York, one of them states up in the East Coast, started ringing. But it was, you know, during that time, the population around here wasn't that, you know, it wasn't well populated. But now it is.
Right. So, well, let me say this, Kimberly, before I forget it.
Okay.
Yesterday they announced that Trump was, we saw it from, I think it came from D in New York, sent me this, but that Antichrist 45 YouTube channel brought it up about Trump, you know, how they're trying to do this big golden statue over Trump. He was just put on the front of Time magazine as Man of the Year.
Yeah.
Now, what was on there is significant because it said he was the president of the divided states of America. I think that is a clue to what's coming because everybody know that when this thing hits, It'll be huge and massive. It will split the country in half. We will have two separate countries, you know. And so when I traveled the country in 2017, a guy told me, you know, to pray along the entire border of the United States. So I went 36 states, 18,000 miles on the $20. You know the story. Well, the Lord told me in a dream when he told me what to do, he said, there's going to be six cities I'm going to have you pray over in this country because the country is going to be divided. So he told me way back then. So the six cities, there's three on the east part of the continent and three on the west. So I knew back then one day that's going to happen and we're going to be split. So you cannot make it up that he was made Man of the Year. And the way he's sitting in the chair is suspect. Because he's looking back. He's looking back. You know, it showed him like looking to the side, like looking back. The divided states of America. And then I just want to throw this in there as well. That guy, Umling, I don't know about him. You know, he's this guy on YouTube that gives these wild prophecies all the time. And he does it where he splits up the video. He doesn't do like one full one. He kind of mixes what he says. It's just really weird. But he says that there is not going to be an inauguration. He's, you know, of course, he says something's going to hit us at Christmas this year. Now, one thing that makes you think about that is the fact of Christmas because of it being, okay, think about what they're doing. They're destroying the Christian country and doing that on a Christian holiday. That whether anybody out there believes that it's good or not, you need to look at the law. Look at the big picture here, okay? This is a holiday based upon and known by culture as a Christian holiday. The same with Easter, but we call it Resurrection Sunday. But those are the two biggest days of the year where people go to church, okay? So I think, I mean, we may be seeing something very soon is the reason that I brought that up about the fault line because, oh, another thing, Kimberly, do you remember when we had the eclipse? All right. We had the eclipse, you know, earlier this year. And you had the, what was that called, Kimberly? The total line, what was that called?
The total line demarcation or something?
No, the one that went by your house. It went up, remember it went up through the New Madrid fault line all the way up to the east?
Okay.
Totalitarian. It ain't totalitarian, but Denise may know. Denise put it in the chat room. But anyways, it's the line of total something. But it's where the eclipse went across the country in this angle.
Yes, but
I can't think of the name of the word. All right, but it was right over the New Madrid fault line. Okay, and not only that, but since then, which now has been about, what, 6 months? Since then, there have been all kinds of stupid weather that you know is geoengineered right over the New Madrid fault line. A whole pattern of tornadoes in one day. It was like 13 tornadoes in one day. And they was like all the way from there, all the way up on that line where it had the totalitarian thing, whatever that was called. But anyways, that's all I wanted to say. So I wanted to ask you if you knew. So everybody keep your eye out for the New Madrid fault line. Okay, go ahead. We got a lady sharing a dream about an earthquake. Go ahead, sis.
Okay. Yes, and I had this dream. It was had to be June or July of 2016 because it was the year that they legalized gay marriage in America. And I had two dreams about an earthquake that I felt where I was. And the first dream was I was me and my child were at a vacation spot, and a lot of people. It had a lot of people, and I was talking to the lady. I was in the lobby of this nice new hotel, and all of a sudden it just started shaking real bad. So we tried to run out, and I live down in Mississippi. So we ran out, and like it was cracked in the ground, you know, cracked in the street, and it was to the point where I couldn't even drive over the road because of the crack, and it was just it was deep crack. And so, and all of a sudden, I felt like I said out of my mouth, "This is due to due to us passing this law for gay marriage." And then, so that dream left, and then I went to another dream where I was driving again with my son, and we were we started shaking real bad, and we got out the car, and we tried to get into a ditch, and the ground started opening up everywhere, and then I woke up. So I had that dream back in 2016.
Thank you so much. Was you in Mississippi when it hit in the dream?
Yes. I knew I was in Mississippi, and it was whatever it was. I was like in a rural area when I was driving. So my mom does live out in the country, so I don't know if I was going. The second dream, I don't know if I was coming from her house or what, but I know the first dream, they had opened up some type of new resort. And I had traveled to the resort, and it was near the water, and it happened then. So it was, but I do remember at the end it said, "This is due to the bill that was passed to legalize gay marriage." And I thought it was coming, you know, I was looking for it, you know. Yeah.
Oh, I bet you was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But you know, I told you, I think 3 weeks ago, the Lord was telling me I was working, and all of a sudden, he told me to brace for impact, and he said a couple times.
Yes. Yes, you did tell me that. But going back to that earthquake dream, I want to ask you, do you remember if it was at night or day?
Daytime.
Daytime.
It was daytime. It was like afternoonish.
Yeah.
But at the time, my son's 14 now, but at the time in the dream, my son was like, you know, 5 or 6, because I was able to pick him up and run out the building. But I can't pick him up now. He's had 2 years.
Yeah.
He's much taller than me. He's tall. So,
well, no. you live in Jackson, Mississippi. How far are you from Memphis?
It's a 2-hour and 45-minute drive.
I'm not too far from Vicksburg, but you are about the same distance as me.
Yeah, and I'm not far from Vicksburg, which is, you know, is a port city. It's on the Mississippi, so that's like 45 minutes.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So you're in the same boat I am. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right there. And then, you know, if it hits like they say it was, you know, because they think that it changed, you know, the way Mississippi, the coastline as well. I think I'm like 2 hours, 15 minutes from the coast. But then it says, you know, I've just been praying for, you know, God's gonna, he said, do not fear. I just made sure, you know, I'm prayed up and ready for whenever he take us, however he gonna take us. But like I did have, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I did have a dream of just lava coming out of the ground, you know, just not even without anybody knowing, you know, like it wasn't just all of a sudden and going down streets and burning up houses and stuff. It was the, you know, and so, and, you know, Jackson is right up under a volcano, a dormant volcano. Like where our, if you see our Coliseum.
Wow, I
like
didn't know
there.
That.
It's a dormant volcano where we are. And our Coliseum is like, if you see it, you can tell it's a valley. It's in a valley. And that's like the opening of the volcano right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you remember me telling you guys the story about that truck and what happened to me? It was in Jackson. When I was riding down the interstate years ago, I guess it was about 10 years ago. This is when I was in the pit serving all the ministries in Mississippi. I was real heavy in Mississippi. And I was driving down the interstate, you know, just doing the normal 70, 75. And I was in the middle lane, and there was I can't remember if it was 4 lanes or 3 lanes, but it was a big one. And there was people on all sides. It was really heavy traffic, like 5 o'clock in the evening. And I saw up ahead because, you know, me being a school bus driver, I was we've had so many defensive training, you know, you always are paying attention to what's ahead, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a truck up there on the right, you know, just like they normally do when they pull over on the side of the road. So he had his signal on, like he was going to get in the far right lane, you know, and kind of ease his way back to the middle like you do. So I saw him that he was trying to get over. And all of a sudden, he turned the nose of his truck completely left and did not go into the lane normally. He drove straight across the interstate.
Oh,
I mean, he went and parked in the middle of the interstate. We were slamming on our brakes. Let me tell you, I like to have never got off that road to the far right, because you're thinking all these emergency thoughts. You know, what about the car behind me? What about the car to the left? What about the car to the right? You know, because you're trying to maneuver so that you don't hit him head on. Mm-hmm. Well, I made it off, but I'm going to tell you, there was a girl that didn't. and she was in the far left lane, I guess, on the phone or whatever, not paying attention. She didn't even slam on her brakes.
No.
So how she couldn't see that the whole interstate was in an emergency situation trying to, you know, avoid this truck. She hit him head on smack. It was sad, but it happened. That was right there in Jackson. So now I was thinking, I wonder if it was some type of magnetic plate underneath him, maybe from the magna flow. You know how he thinks.
I don't know,
but it was either that or it was mind control. What else would make a man just go straight into traffic to kill people? You know, that's exactly what that was. Yeah. But anyway, so you are that close to the fault line.
Yeah.
We definitely do not fear.
Yeah.
What?
When I was in college at Tuvalu, when the seismologist, or however you say his name, was like thinking it was going to happen in the 90s. So then he had pointed down a specific week he really thought it was going to happen. And my school closed. And that made everybody go home.
No way.
They closed for a week. I remember they closed for a week. So they was like, hey,
Well, the thing is, you know, we know, like when we did that show the other day on the communities and how they're trying to get people to be homeless because they want to build these new buildings. They want to build back better in every way. If you can, I mean, really, like right now we got all these fires going on over there in the West. You know, which would you rather, you know, have to go through? The fire or the flood? And it's like every, you know, state is going through some type of, you know, natural disaster so they can restructure. Okay, let's look at Mississippi. Let's look at Missouri. I think it was last year when they went through all them weird tornadoes, remember? I mean, just completely wipe it out, wipe out cities, you know, much less what happened over there in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, it's because they want to build back better. They want to build these new, they really don't even want to use natural wood anymore. Have y'all noticed that as well? But these little communities where they're, you know, printing these houses, they're just boxes where they're putting people in boxes where you don't even have your own bathroom. You know, have to share a bathroom where everything in your life has to be shared. You have no more independence, basically, is what that is. You see?
Yeah.
But the reason I'm saying this is, you know, are we really ready to trust in God? Because like when I interviewed that woman the other night, I did that on purpose. How many of y'all caught on to that? Did you watch the interview, Kimberly?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Well, did you see that where I took her own words and made videos of them? I did that twice. And one of them was where she said, you cannot trust the system. Remember, she said that. So I was like, I am going to capture her words and I am going to show a visual of what she's saying.
Yeah.
Because she's saying you can't trust the system. You got to trust God. So that's why I was asking her, are you still working for this system? I mean, because, you know, you're telling us this, but your life's not matching this, you know.
Yeah.
Is your book the truth? You know, because in other words, all of us are going to have to live this out. All it takes is them doing one, you know, crazy geoengineering thing in your town, and you would, you know, have to be really talking to God, okay, you know, what are you going to do? Because think about what them people like down there in North Carolina and Tennessee are facing right now. You see what I mean?
Sad.
Yeah,
it is sad. I appreciate you sharing your dreams this morning. Do you want us to pray with you about anything?
I'm all right right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, one thing I want to add to this video is this comment right here. We're going back to the subject of, you know, what is the MOTB, about the jab or the testing or whatever it is. I want to say this publicly, and y'all need to really think about this. We know how we feel. We have our convictions, but we are truly not God, you know. And we see the word and we understand the word and what we believe the word is. Like I even told you guys this morning, I believe it is. Okay. But the fact that, you know, they didn't say with their mouth, I renounce Christ, you know, whatever, that they would have them say, you know, you got to have mercy. So just remember that, you know. There are people I know that would walk up to people and say, you're going to hell now. You know, your life is over. You know, would you want to be responsible for these people that go out and kill themselves? I wouldn't want to be at all. You know, that's why I'm saying, you know, the only chance that I see is you'd have to come out of agreement with it. You know, if there is a chance, I'm not even saying it is, but there may be, and that would be your way out. So I just want to encourage everybody, when you're approached about this topic, be walk on eggshells. Be very, very careful. Because these people, there is coming more, okay? That first round was a test. And they're not finished with part two and three. So see, part one, let's all look at it like this. Part one, which is where that come in. That was done, it's over, and that now they're examining it. That's what we read this morning. So, because part two and three is going to be the more in your face, you choose or die. See what I mean? So they had to get their ducks in a row. So these people that took that then, you know, have mercy towards them, have grace. But the problem is can they repent? Because we know that thing targets their God gene. So if they can still repent, they need to do it. They need to turn, but they cannot go any further with it, which would cost them their life. So I would just really tread very carefully, everybody, and have mercy on other people and just stick to your guns, because you can't change under other people. Remember that. These people out here, which I told my kids, you know, because they said they wasn't coming in for Thanksgiving and whatnot or Christmas. I just told them, look, y'all are going to do what you're going to do. You have made the decision for your life. I've made the decision for mine. It is what it is. I mean, I've raised them. I love them. I'm praying for them. I'm fighting for them and all this. But when it all comes down to it, they're grown people. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do. They got kids. They got families like y'all's kids we was talking about. These people are going to do what they're going to do. But we still walk with our conviction, but we handle them with, you know, white gloves very carefully with love and give them hope. You know, I don't want to be the one that shreds them down, they may hear me speak the truth, I believe, but if there is some reason I am missing it, there's only one way. You're going to have to come out of agreement with it because, you know, sin crouches at the door. It was a sin either way it goes to it that you did it. You know what I'm saying? So you need to deal with this thing. Type of deal. Okay, so I'm... Because now I can record this and then I'll have to get off here. I want to clarify something to everybody because Annette brought up a good point about how, you know, there's reports coming out that they're putting this stuff in everything. Okay? There is a difference, and I want to explain to you guys why. Because we do have the blood and we have protection. These people that are choosing to take these things are making choices. This stuff that we're doing, you know, just living life and then they throw it in the air. We're having to breathe it. You know, they're putting it in food. We're having to eat it, you know, tie the clothes that we have and whatnot. You know, this is where we are in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
You know, these are attacks coming from the enemy, you know, against our temple. So I believe that God will protect us, you know, but we are not of their system just because we're still living here. So I wouldn't let people try to convince you of that you are just as marked as I am. They got it in everything, you know. Right. Don't fall for that. Because you didn't make the choice and you didn't do it. You know, you have your temple that is still intact because you have the blood that is alive. Your blood is still alive.
Amen. And that's how I feel. Because right. I'm